The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, hello. Welcome, everyone, again to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am, of course, your host, John Schmidt. And again today, as I have been doing for most Mondays of the last 3 years, I'll be taking us out to the big picture, into the up close and personal, and toward a world of desirable futures, those rich, as I always like to say, with the essence of constant renewal. Well, I'm delighted today in the through line and the flow of our conversations to have a guest join us that is right where we've been with the focus of our tensions recently, Foster Gamble, creator of the film Thrive, along with his lovely wife, Kimberly. Foster will be the guest with us today. But a little background before I do that first, because, of course, our regular listeners know I have been pointing to the film and thought and conversation and reflection about it. For those that are new to Zoomed, perhaps I can even maybe say a few words that really talks about what I've been doing with the film. I have been pointing on one level to the sense of understanding and sensing into the film and the difference between knowing and just believing, but knowing, kind of getting in the belly about what's going on. And last week I made a clear sense and really put out there my own sort of perspective about the realities we're living into, I think in some respects as a parallel for sure. And I called it really a tilt, as we might say, on the pinball game of life, where our economic and our financial system and much more have been overtaken. They've been dominated, if you will, as I've talked about and other guests have pointed to. Crony capitalism is alive and well, and that's what we've been living. I suggested also a continuum of perspectives about possibilities for life on the planet, how we might think about it. And one way that I framed it is at one end of this continuum, we are thinking about freedom. We are thinking about freedom that's inherent in the essence of our realized self, open amidst the flowing truth of our own consciousness that we certainly are. And then with that individual freedom, we have a reflection in the outer world of the unity, the integration, the shared peaceful living interdependence that is possible. That's at one end of the continuum. On the other end of the continuum, what I was describing last week was a reflection of a rather unenlightened, sort of a commanding self, the totality of the ego and its limitations and biases that can most of all get reflected in the world through a tilt of domination, I think, to particular ends, to a society that's free only to a privileged and dominating few. And that privilege is gained through coercion and a power over control over the rest. I suggested from my own perspective that we are tilted to the domination end, past the midpoint, where the system and the polarities and the politics have been co-opted by the big money, by corporate influence, as we've talked about it, the financial system and the backdrop that we have been discussing for the last couple of years here. But in the process, freedom is being lost. And Thrive as a film, I think, at least in my representation of it, is a picture of this continuum itself. It is a suggestion perhaps even further out than where I have pointed us to in our perspective, because I think Foster, as he will describe it more fully, those of you that seen the film are actually going to get a better sense of the intentional global domination agenda that's being reflected in the New World Order being orchestrated by a set of supremely wealthy families on the planet. So I think the film is, and as many of you have seen, for those that have not, it weaves together quite a tapestry, a picture and perspective of this New World Order. And today, conversation with Foster about it all, I want to get a better sense. I know that those of you have been asking me about development of the film, about some of the objective realities and the data that's behind it, what is going on, how we might sense it all. But Foster, great to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be with your community today.
Well, good. Thanks. Maybe we can get started, Foster, just to go back, because I know I had some of my listeners sent me a couple of messages and said, well, you're a descendant of the Procter & Gamble company, perhaps some wealth in that, but you didn't take the corporate path. Maybe start there. Maybe give us a sense of what happened to you that you didn't end up in the corporate trail.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to address that head on because, you know, rumors and speculations swirl, so it's nice to be able to actually bring some simplicity and truth to it. The fact of the matter is my great-great-grandfather was the soap maker who, along with the candle maker Procter, started the Procter & Gamble family about 175 years ago. My family has not been involved in the running of the company for several generations, and our amount of stock ownership in the entire clan is minuscule compared to the size of the company right now. And in the beginning, the company, as I've read the history of it, was actually something I was very proud of. It was a well-run company that was one of the first to institute employee stock ownership and treated its employees well. And then as it grew, I think, frankly, it got out of hand in a lot of ways that multinational corporations do, where they started getting really careless about pollution and animal testing and so forth. And so a number of other members of the clan and myself have been somewhat successful over the years in getting them to reduce pollution and stop almost all animal testing. Unfortunately, there's hardly a product that they make that I want to use now because they haven't really been willing to completely abandon the animal testing or go toward organic, and it's just not the products, you know, frankly, that I look to buy. I am grateful to my great-great-grandfather for creating some wealth that eventually, you know, six generations later, there was just barely enough left when it got to me to allow me to choose what I wanted to do with my daily life if I managed my own inheritance very carefully. And what that allowed me to do was look around in the world as I graduated from college, and rather than, you know, just pick some mainstream task and go around complaining about my job, I actually had to ask myself, you know, what is my purpose in life? What am I actually here for? And as I looked around, I saw that we were destroying the environment and we were at the risk of nuclear holocaust and creating unnecessary wars of aggression and so forth. And so I really dedicated my life to figuring out what is in the way of human beings' natural urge to thrive. And I was a filmmaker. I had created the filmmaking department at Princeton when I was there along with some friends. And so I told my associates at the time, if I find meaningful answers to the question, what's in the way of our thriving, and how can we turn it around, how can we get out of this mess, then I'll make the feature film that everybody was expecting me to make. So I didn't know it was going to take 40 years, but you know, here we are this much later, and I finally got a chance to find the coherence I was looking for, and along with my wife, Kimberly, who was the producer and director and co-writer of the film, I got to finally make the film that I wanted to make my whole life.
Well, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. And, you know, I think that for me, I think, and even for the audience that we would have here from Zoomed, I think the connection to Procter & Gamble and a connection to the corporate arena is not like, myself, I was even telling you before while we were getting started with the show, I mean, I have worked with many of these large corporations for many years, and it's not a black and white issue. There are good things being done in every organization, and there are things that are less than desirable, as you're really pointing to in many of these organizations as well. But I'm delighted to hear that and that through line. I get that gives us a better sense of things. But at the outset, I know that the film was launched in November. As we get started, Foster, any sense of the number of people that have seen the film and your sense of the responses so far that might frame us even as we might even go back a little bit?
Well, I'm thrilled to say that the response is even more than we had hoped for. There have already been well over 2 million people have seen it in 3 months. And most excitingly, there have been over 3,000 self-created screenings, either in people's homes or where people have rented theaters and auditoriums and had as many as 1,000 people, you know, come in and see the film. And there are also self-creating Thrive-inspired solutions groups that are starting up in towns and cities and in states and actually other countries as well around the world that are organizing around the awareness of the problems that are laid out in Thrive, but also around the solutions model that we put forward. And this is what I'm most excited about at all, and of all, and so is Kimberly, that people are not, we thought we were going to have to spend 6 months to a year just arguing about whether or not the Federal Reserve was federal and whether or not there's any such thing as conspiracy, but that's really not happening. What we've done is fact-checked and third-party corroborated, and there's so much information coming out everywhere about what's really going on that Thrive has just sort of helped people connect the dots very quickly and in a user-friendly way. So people are basically communicating to us from all over the world saying, oh, okay, you know, there's a lot of bad news, we get it, but we're motivated. We want to move on into the solutions phase. You know, how can you assist us with that? So that's what we're most excited about, and it's happening all over the world.
Well, that's great to hear. And I think what you've paralleled is our conversation here on Zoom, as we were talking about coming in, that there is a leadership through line here, and one element of leadership is understanding what is going on, and then the other fundamental element is how do we take action? How do we move into it, recognizing the reality that we're actually seeing, experiencing, and living? But Foster, take us back a little bit. You and Kimberly then, you know, in their 40 years of development and, you know, your own evolution, but the film itself had sort of a germination, I suspect. How is it and what started to emerge for you that was kind of fueling this perspective that you're really putting out?
Well, we've been working on the film for 8 years, and it was, so it was early, you know, after the change of the millennium that I finally felt like I really had a handle on what was going on behind the scenes and enough of the solutioning. And then as we've been making the film, we found out even more about what's going on and had a chance to employ our solutions model in some critical situations and to fine-tune that. But it was really when my path of science came to fruition, and then combined with my path of following the money, that the two fit together into such a compelling story that Kimberly and I just decided, okay, now's the time the world really wants to know. Because my path of science had been really since high school. I had been passionate about physics and cosmology, especially what I call living geometry. How does spirit come into matter? How does the universe form the material world geometrically? And I had this vision that those of you who have seen the film saw a little depiction of that. When I was 14, I had this vision riding on a school bus of this toroidal pattern, this whirlpool vortex that looked to be what an atom must be and what a solar system is. But even more importantly for me, I felt somehow I was that same pattern. And to make a long story short, I spent decades trying to figure out, is there in fact a fundamental pattern by which nature sustains a healthy system? And I thought I had found what I was looking for in 1997 and convened a think tank for 3.5 years with scientists and mystics and near-death survivors, and really from all over the world and from all different disciplines, to see if the two patterns that I had found were fundamental at every scale, you know, from subatomic physics to the clustering of galaxies in astrophysics and into consciousness studies as well. And all of the people gathered were interested in what they call unification theory. Is there a way of seeing the universe where all the so-called different forces that are recognized in physics can be seen as part of one whole dynamic? And basically, once you realize that nature has to create a toroidal vortex in order to sustain a system, you realize that all of the forces, electricity and magnetism and gravity and the nuclear forces, they're all simply a part of this toroidal dynamic. And once you recognize that, you can begin accessing energy in ways that are much safer than what we're doing with fission and combustion and so forth. And that's led to inventors being able to access what they call free energy or radiant or zero-point energy. So I got to visit some of these laboratories in my scientific pursuits and see, and get to see these technologies that are so exciting. They're accessing electricity right out of the space around us, or out of the electromagnetic field, in a clean and safe way. And that's really good news, obviously, for what the predicament we're in on the planet. But on the other hand, these technologies are being brutally suppressed. And so that's what led me to begin following the money. That took me into the second part of the path.
Great. Well, let me hold you right there for a minute. I can hear the music sort of as a cue in the backdrop here, Foster, because I want to pick up on that. I'm getting a sense then of the flavor of the science. I'd also like, I know one of my listeners actually sent me a message as well and said, you know, I'd be curious, in addition to that, to say, how sort of investigative was this when you started following the money, and to what extent did this really start with sort of a picture or a belief in mind? I'd like to get that when we come back, and then really progress to even get a bit, get more about the sense of what is the finding on this that you're beginning to describe, Foster, and how this follow the money has begun and really shaped the picture that comes out in the film. But let's take a short break. Come back, folks, in a minute. We'll continue with Foster Campbell, Thrive, the film, the movement, our conversation today. Thanks.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. The Zoomed Leadership Conversation today, as well as shows both past and upcoming, are intended to illuminate perspectives on the great transition in motion, the extraordinary era of change that is affecting all of our personal lives, our organizations, our communities, and our governing institutions. Big shifts are happening, and more are coming. Some can be foreseen, but many are outside current paradigms of thought. All, however, ultimately will be shaped by new and expanding forms of leadership, capable of holding the widest possible views and the deepest forms of interconnection. Join Zoomed host John Schmidt weekly as he rides the rising wave of intelligence, moving us all toward a world of immense potential, dynamism, and economic, social, and environmental renewal. Zoomed is sponsored in part by Avastone Consulting, a source point for development of leadership and organizational resilience and sustainability for the last 25 years. Find John and his colleagues at Avastone via avastoneconsulting.com.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoomed, Foster Campbell, our guest. Sort of the backdrop, as I've suggested, the tilt of the system we're living and life at large, especially as we follow the money. Thrive, the movie, our focus, the backdrop, the movement, and where this might go in terms of the path forward, the backdrop and the continuity of Zoomed and leadership certainly with that. Foster, you were describing the impetus and your flow of energy and what's happened in the energy sciences and the movement and how you really described the evolution of that. And there was a point in time when something emerged about following the money. Maybe you can really talk a little bit about that connection, because that's one that I think leads us into an area toward this domination agenda, which is even further out than I have been pointing to and talking about, and even some of our listeners, when they've seen the movie, of their eyes get really big.
Yeah.
So maybe you can make that connection, because
sure.
I think it's something that's very, very, in some ways, absolutely shocking.
Well, it was a huge turning point in my life. I mean, you can imagine Kimberly's and my excitement when we're in these laboratories watching these little devices on a bench just not only pour out electricity, but the more things you plug into them, the more electricity they generate. And then to see these same inventors have their doors kicked down by SWAT teams, and they come in and terrorize these people and their families and take the equipment and threaten their lives and tell them that if they ever continue the research or even talk to people about them, their lives are in danger and so forth. So it was a real shock to me.
Break-ins and so forth. What's your sense on that?
Yeah, who wouldn't want everybody on the planet to have access to clean, safe energy? So I shifted my focus for a while and really started talking to experts, doing a lot of reading to try to follow the money, basically. You know, Kimberly is a professional journalist who worked for Newsweek International for over 10 years, and she kept reminding me, you know, if the story doesn't make sense, follow the money. So we did, and to make a long story short, we followed the money in every single one of what we call the 12 main sectors of human endeavor, and that's science and media and governance and education and so on. And what we found is when we got to who was controlling each sector, it turned out to be the same people. Whether it was energy or agriculture or education, for instance, the same elite banking families, in particular the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Morgans and so forth in this family, but especially in Europe, the Rothschilds as well seem to be the predominant banking family who are pretty much running the show worldwide. And so as we began to discover that, then I had to ask myself, well, what's the deal with them? Are they so smart, so much better than the rest of us, that they just naturally rise to the top? But no, it turns out when you get into the economics sector, basically the economics of the world, not just this country, that we've all been kind of taught to, that it's so complicated we just need to leave it to the experts. You know, let the Federal Reserve handle it, and let bailouts rescue these banks and so forth. When you follow it, it actually gets quite simple. There's a fundamental banking scam where a few human beings basically get to make up money whenever they want to. And so, of course, if you were playing Monopoly with these people, they'd end up buying everything you had pretty quickly. And that's where we are. We're on the brink of these international central bankers fundamentally owning almost all of the real assets in the world. And we're, you know, on the brink of them getting the rest of it right now. So once I realized that, okay, there's this huge scam that's been going on for 400 years, but now, especially with the Internet, people are finding out about it. Okay, these people have consolidated most of the wealth in the world, but if they've got that much money, how come they're so greedy? And it turns out it's not greed for money. It's greed for control over other people's lives. They're so afraid that they're going to lose their position of control. They're really trying to actually dominate you know, not only every country, but the individual human beings and corporations all over the world. So once I realized that, then as horrible as it was to get that there are human beings who wake up with that as their agenda every morning, at least I actually began to feel some relief that now the headlines that I'm seeing of the what looks like an intentional mortgage collapse, an intentional collapse of one country after another economically, including the U.S. being the biggest debtor in the history of the planet, and the collapse of the dollar being imminent and so forth. But once I got a sense of what their agenda was and the news started making more sense, then I started getting a feel for, okay, now that I understand more what's going on, maybe now I can come up with some solutions that are commensurate to the problem at hand, because I have a background not only as a business person, but also as a martial artist. And, you know, you're taught in both realms that the first imperative is you got to understand what's really going on if you're going to deal with it and protect yourself effectively. So that's really where in the film we go from this awareness of this code, this fundamental pattern in nature, to the follow the money, which leads to the global domination agenda, and then finally the whole last part of the film, or is basically a half of the film, is dedicated to what can we do about this.
Right. Before we go there, let me go back here for a minute, because I think what you've really described here is the connection between the energy and then following the money and the understanding of what's behind that. And we've been talking on Zoom for a couple of years now about the nature of the system, the way it's evolved, the financial backdrop. Simon Johnson that we've had has talked about it from a mainstream perspective, that there's been a quiet coup with the financial side really then coming in and providing the sort of the new ownership and control and the larger view of what you've described. But you're really taking it a step further, and I'm curious, and I know a number of my listeners have been as well, Foster, about the connection then to the families, that there is an elite few actually orchestrating this behind the scenes in some orchestrated fashion. Can you say a little bit more about that and sort of the objective side of what you discovered and how that, you say that it, you know, came back to these families, but say a little bit more about it, because that's part of the question and a lot of the listeners I know that they've been, have been generating to me about, well, describe more of that, because that's taking it a step beyond a system that's being influenced by the corporate realm. It's really describing there the real agenda of a few. Can you say some more about that?
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity, because these are just critical distinctions, certainly in my path of discovery, but I think really for anyone who wants to help turn this thing around right now. So let me clarify a few things. First of all, in my experience, there's nothing intrinsically bad about these particular families. It's just that the families happen to be the beneficiaries. They're involved in the cartels that have been running the banking system. And it's really the banking system, which is virtually totally corrupt at its core, because of this scam of literally making up fake money. Rather than money being an honest medium of exchange or, you know, a storehouse of wealth, the powers that want to be have made a point of getting rid of any real commodity backing for money. You know, they first of all just went off the gold standard, and then started confiscating gold. I hear some music. You want to take a break and continue?
Yeah, this is an important piece on this, Foster. Let's not lose it and do it too quickly here, because I think this is an important distinction and a reflection to really point into, to understand the nature of the backdrop and the extent of the orchestration and how that might be going on and the intersection to the banking. But you're right. Like, we hear the music in our ears. Let's take a short break, folks. Come on back in just a moment. We'll continue and really start to flesh out this story. But as always, continue the leadership and where do we go? That's where we'll head over the course of the show. Back in a moment. Thanks.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Zoomed Leadership is sponsored in part by Cosmos Journal, the journal for world citizens creating the new civilization. More than just a publication, Cosmos is committed to informing, inspiring, and engaging the world in the transition to an emerging, sustainable, just, and compassionate global culture and civilization that works for all. For over 10 years, Cosmos has been a leading voice that tracks the deep systemic transformations already occurring at the margins of society as our institutions prove unable to serve the needs of the times. Published twice a year in print and digital, Cosmos includes leading-edge articles from social change leaders on the global commons, people power, global governance, new economics, collective intelligence, and cultivating the self. The impact of these paradigm-changing ideas is enhanced through stunning visuals and photographic stories that motivate to action. Start exploring Cosmos Journal and continue opening your perspectives about leadership and the emerging great transition at cosmosjournal.org. Join the Cosmos Leaders of Change and make a difference today.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoom Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's avastoneconsulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoomed, Foster Gamble, our guest, and as Foster and I were talking over the break, I was suggesting that part of our conversation as Zoomed has been to really illuminate the nature of what is happening in our system, the financial overlay, the financial sort of coup, as Simon Johnson has described it so well to us, but actually the picture and the experience that a few that could actually be behind the scenes in a complex world like this, in a complexity of all the exponential realities, and I asked Foster the question about this, then how can a family do that when we have the backdrop of the sand pile effect where you have complex systems that break down, the avalanches there, how could they actually control it? And Foster, you were saying that you went through some of the same thinking.
Oh, absolutely.
You were
First of all, as I started finding out what was going on, I just kept hoping every morning when I woke up that I was wrong. But I had the natural questions of, you know, how could a few people control billions? You know, and how can they do it without people finding out? And all those questions, which are really important questions to ask. I don't want anybody believing what we or anyone else says. I want people to be skeptical, but also be open to following the evidence and then coming to their own conclusions through their own critical thinking. So I was talking about how the core of the scam is fiat money. Fiat meaning they just get to make it up out of thin air. And when a few people get to do that, and it's no longer related to gold or related to any other commodity, then whoever controls the money controls the people, as Mayor Amschel Rothschild is famous for saying. So if we step way back now from the situation to try to put the pieces together, we have a graphic on our website in the Follow the Money section, and it's also featured in the film in several sections where we tried to simplify the control structure of the planet down to a single picture. So for those of you who aren't in front of it, I'll describe it. On the bottom is people, planet, and all living things. And that's, you know, you and me and the rest of the most people that we know going around in our daily lives and the species and the rainforest and so forth. And then up above that is government. And that's as far as most people have taken it over the years. Okay, government has some control over us, so we better be careful who's in government and all that kind of stuff, all the, you know, interest in these primaries and everything, as if that was really the source of power. People like to say in this country that Obama must be the most powerful guy in the world because he's the president of the United States. Well, that's far from the truth. So let's keep going up the pyramid, because the governments really are beholden to the corporatocracy. And that's gotten really clear now with the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which basically has now authorized these unlimited bribes from corporations to politicians. So it's gotten very overt now who the politicians really work for. But we got to keep going further and ask ourselves, who do the corporations work for? And yes, they work for their stockholders, fundamentally they do their big operations through borrowing capital. And so the whole key to the business world is cheap capital. And they get their capital, they get their investment money, their loans and so forth, at cheap rates from the big banks. And this is where Chase and Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo and Bank of America and so forth, they're really they have tremendous power over the corporations. And that's why they're really in league together. But those big banks are also subjugated to the central banking system, the Federal Reserve in this country, and the central bank in virtually every country on the surface of the earth right now has a is a part of this central banking system, and the few who aren't or weren't have basically been identified as the axis of evil and have been invaded under various pretenses. You know, Iraq, Libya, and Egypt, North Korea, and so forth. These were the problem people who weren't participating cooperatively with the central banking system. But then the central banks themselves are still beholden to the international central banks, to the World Bank and to the IMF, and even above them is the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank of central banks created and run by the Rothschilds, the most powerful banking cartel in the world. So then who runs that? And this is where you get to the very top of the pyramid, and it gets very much more covert, because in my research, it's really now the decisions get made behind closed doors in secret societies like the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of International Affairs and so forth, where we've heard of the existence of these and at the top levels of the Masonic Order and so forth, but we don't, we never get notes from their meetings unless somebody sneaks some out, which fortunately a few have. But the evidence is overwhelming to me that decisions get made by groups in these secret societies where the heads of each pyramid, the heads of the banking pyramid, the corporate pyramid, the military pyramid, the media pyramid, the education pyramid, healthcare, they all come together behind closed doors as members of these organizations and basically decide or are told by the banking cartel, who are the most powerful, what needs to happen next in the world. And then they come out and we see in the banking system, in the education system, in the media system, in the what the military is doing, who's invading who next and so forth, we see the secret agenda now start to get overt, and then way down at the bottom of the pyramid, we all start getting affected by it as we are by the wars and the banking collapse and the bailouts and all that type of thing. Now, the good news is that even though they've got the, you know, the military and most of the money consolidated in, at the top of the pyramid, the fact of the matter is we outweigh the number, we outnumber the people who are actually consciously perpetrating this agenda, because most people in their organizations don't even know what's going on. We outnumber them by over 1,000,000 to 1, and the real strength of a pyramid is in its foundation. So if we learn, if we become aware and learn how to walk away from these systems, nonviolent non-participation, as Gandhi and King called it, and take your money out of those banks and refuse to fight those wars and vote only for politicians who aren't going along with that agenda. Don't get your news from these media sources that are serving their corporate controllers and so forth. As the majority of the human population turns its attention to more of the truth and healthy systems and so forth, they will either go out of existence or need to turn their orientation, just like corporations that were supporting apartheid in South Africa had to do once people started waking up and divesting.
Interesting. So what I'm hearing, Foster, is the backdrop of this in a way that I actually didn't even quite get it with the secret societies and the different dimensions at the top of each of these, from government to military to banking to education, media, and so forth. I didn't quite get that. Maybe I missed that. But what I'm hearing is that there is an orientation there at that point that then is trickled down. And did your evidence actually point to some systematic orientation of them meeting and really providing some combined focus of how to actually then engage the world in this agenda?
Oh, yeah. You, there are people like Alex Jones and others who have been following the activities of groups like the Bilderberg Group, for instance, who meet a couple of times each year behind closed doors and with armed guards and so forth. But you can see who attends the meeting and then see the actions that they take after they come out. And there have been some leaked notes from the meetings that have confirmed, you know, what people have suspected. But as the important question for people to start asking themselves is, who controls your life? You know, if the bank is controlling your house, and if the government is controlling, you know, a big percentage of your income through mandatory taxation, and if the government is controlling your children through what they have to learn at school or what vaccinations they have to have and so forth. If you just start following that control and find out that even someone like Obama is working for five levels of power above him, then things start to make a lot more sense. When Obama was representing so much hope and change and enthusiasm, you know, not only in this country but across the planet, and then he actually gets into power and does virtually the opposite of everything he was promising to do, and people think, well, you know, it's just a gridlocked political system and so forth. No, actually the tops of both political wing, you know, political parties are actually working for the same agenda. So when they don't go near the Federal Reserve system, when they don't cut back the military budget, and when they inflict things like the recent NDAA, which, you know, authorizing assassination, you know, indefinite detention, rendition, even assassination of people all over the world, including U.S. citizens who dissent from the government agenda, the evidence starts getting stronger and stronger that the people at the top of the pyramid, as long as they control the people at the top of the pyramids below them, and then those people are controlling both the money and the military, they can essentially end up controlling most of people's lives without them even knowing it. You know, World War III is going on, has been going on for almost the last 100 years, but it's economic, so it's quiet. People haven't recognized that it's going on. You know, I know you had John Perkins on the show one time, and he's described how this corporatocracy has quietly taken over most countries on the planet without, you know, created this global empire without people even knowing it. But it's not a U.S. empire, even though they're using U.S. money and U.S. military to accomplish a lot of it. They're now collapsing the U.S. economy because it's really the whole point of this is to create a global empire with the banking elite, with the World Bank and the IMF and the Bank of International Settlements and so forth, at the head of it, with a one-world currency, one-world government, and a one-world police force run by them. And that's what we need to wake up to and refuse to participate in before it's too late.
And Foster, you're making a distinction, I think, here relative to leadership, which is understanding a reality and a set of views on what could be going on. And I also want to differentiate that because you mentioned Alex Jones, and I know some of my listeners have actually mentioned they've gotten on his website, as have I. I listened to your show last week. There's the content of what he's describing, and I think he pointed you in some directions in terms of the data. But it also feels like that there's a mindset that some of this New World Order perspective they can come out of that also has a mindset of almost an absolutism around it that, to me, if I were calling into Alex's show, he would push me away and he would reject me outright because I do some work in sustainability and I point to some global issues. So I think we need to distinguish the content of the reality from some of the mindsets that also get connected to looking at the reality. And I'm not suggesting anything wrong or bad about Alex because I think he's providing a legitimate source, but I know some of my listeners have pushed back and said, whoa, I couldn't find myself on Alex's show.
Well,
and maybe
really
you can make
point.
That bridge because you've actually made that bridge so beautifully in where you go in terms of solutions because it takes it out of an absolutist sense in terms of a through line that people can embrace to find a connectedness and an integration that's different than that. And that, to me, I felt like was a particularly important reflection, Foster.
Well, I appreciate that acknowledgement. I mean, that means the world to me and to Kimberly. And I really credit Kimberly tremendously for bringing the feminine energy into our communication. I mean, I'm a pretty soft-spoken guy, but I can get pretty heated when I am thinking about what a handful of people are doing, killing innocent people across the planet and destroying billions of lives financially and so forth, you know, intentionally. I can get pretty steamed up. And if you heard the show, you know, I acknowledged Alex for being one of the Paul Revere's of our generation. You know, if Paul Revere rode through your town yelling about the British are coming and you ignored him because, you know, he had a harsh voice or, you know, his horse smelled or something like that, you'd be missing a key point. And unfortunately, a lot of people, as popular as he is, a lot of people have been driven away by the sort of angry, ranting tone that he has. And he's played a role that has been just indispensable in waking people up. And Kimberly really encouraged me as she was directing me on the set She just kept reminding me, you know, come from your confidence about the human spirit and its creativity and our way out of this situation, and allow people their own emotional space to deal with the information rather than trying to, you know, cram, you know, the information down their throat, or to, you know, to vent anger or make them afraid or anything like that. Instead, honor their intelligence, give them the information, and then those who are ready, you know, will start getting organized and doing something about it. And I'm happy to say we've been getting that response, especially from women and from young people, but really from all walks of life all over the planet, is that this is a DVD and a website that they can trust, that they can pass on to their friends, and then be on the same team dealing with what's really going on and what can we do about it, rather than having to deal with the tone of an angry, ranting male.
That's right on. And I want to pick up, I hear the music in our ears, and I want to come back. Let's take a quick break here, Foster, because I think this differentiation is useful. You point to the nature of mindsets as being central to this dimension of looking and how we actually resonate with what is happening and how we respond to it. You put mindset and the consciousness at the heart of it. That's what we do on Zoomed. That's really what captured, I think, a lot of the listeners who have really provided me feedback. But let's come back. I don't want to shortchange the last segment here as well. I know it's a short one, so take a short break, folks. Come back in a moment, final segment with Foster today. Thanks.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on last segment today with Foster, we were talking about on break how, just as in Zoomed, I've been suggesting that what each of us has to do is sense into the reality of the world to come to know what is true, not just believe what's said by certain people out there. And that's exactly what Kimberly and Foster, I think, have done, have tried to put this picture out for us to sense into, to look at a larger picture of connections that we might not have thought about, and then make sense of it and get and try to differentiate from an absolutist ideology, which can often take a particular position around these dimensions, but broaden the view on this and to consider this more fully. You've done that in the film. You've actually bridged Foster with that into the set of actions, which really cover an integrated view and really then get people connected with where they are in their belly. Maybe you can describe a little bit more about the process and where it's been going into that action flow.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned in the film, Kimberly and I were committed to not just putting out a bunch of scary information. You know, people don't have much more psychic space for that. So we really waited until we felt the confidence in a way out of this mess, and also an approach to solutions that was even more coherent and compelling than our assessment of the problem. So if people go on our website at thrivemovement.com, you'll find a copious solutions section. There's actually a couple of universities are offering academic credit already for studying the Thrive approach to solutions and actually creating actions independently. But the solutions are based on a ton of research from very good researchers like Ed Griffin and Jim Mars. And in the Follow the Money section and in the Global Domination section, you'll find coherent narratives, but also a resource tree where you can find the websites and the books and the DVDs and so forth that we found most valuable. And just go as deep down that rabbit hole as you want to. What most people are finding is they just go far enough where they go, okay, yeah, this is a more coherent story than what I was being told by the corporate news. This makes sense. Okay, now I want to get on to solutions. So then the solutions section is extensive, and it not only gives you overarching solution strategies. Obviously, we need to get to the root of the fake money system and get rid of it and turn it around to where we have honest money and transparent exchanges and no coercion by the government or by the banking cartel and so forth. But then people still wonder, I'm not going to be able to shut down the Fed or things like that. What can I do myself? And so we have what we call the top 10 actions, things that we most recommend that people can do in their daily lives that don't take a lot of time or money. And the number one thing is just get informed, speak up, and connect with others, because it's the conversations that people are now having with their friends and in their workplace and with their spouses and with their relatives and so forth. And Thrive is really helping to catalyze that conversation in a safe and useful way. But then also, you can move your money out of these tapeworm banks that are multiplying your deposits by 10 and then going and doing, clear cutting and funding the wars and all that stuff with it. And you can move it into your local community where usually over 80 to 90% of it needs to stay in the community and actually fund your own environment, local businesses, and so forth. Another thing you can do is join coalitions both to end the Federal Reserve and to keep the Internet fair and open. You can support independent media, like this show that we're on. You wouldn't hear this show yet on the major networks. But it's shows like yours, John, that are getting the word out all over the world where people are having the discussions with no holds barred so you can get to the truth. You can support organic non-GMO farming and what you buy and the local farmers that you support and so forth. To whatever degree you're involved in politics, unless we have campaign finance reform, get the corporations out of it and have honest voting machines, that type of thing, we're not even going to have anywhere close to honest representation. And you can go on our website and sign up for what we call critical mass action, where when we have a critical number of people that are ready to move on an action and a critical amount of money committed, then, half a million people take an action, with millions of dollars to support it, and it's going to be effective rather than just a few people showing up somewhere with placards and so forth. And frankly, I just got back last weekend from participating in an Occupy Solidarity Summit in Olympia, Washington, where representatives from Occupy sites all over this country had come together, and they asked me to show Thrive and to talk about our solutions approach, because they're really struggling. There's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and attention, and yet they're dealing with so many issues that they're in the struggle right now of trying to really get well-informed and also find new, out-of-the-box ways of approaching solving the problems in ways that the Democrats and the Republicans and the unions and so forth obviously haven't been able to accomplish so far. So I'm happy to say that a lot of the different sites are starting to combine their solutions approaches with those from Thrive Movement. And that's really what I invite people to do, is not only familiarize yourself with these approaches, but add in your own creativity and be in touch with people, which we can facilitate through our website, who are getting active and getting creative all over the planet.
Foster, I think it's what I'm hearing is a real self-organizing flow of leadership. The through line of our show certainly is about that, but it's leadership as a verb, not in the noun like in the power players at the top. It's that action of leadership. That's what I hear you're doing here. I hear music in the backdrop here, Foster. Maybe just a final thought or comment, though, to bridge us forward. I invite you back for sure another time on this, but final thought on the day as I'm hearing the we're wrapping up.
Yeah, just echo what you're saying is that what we really set out to do was to help facilitate a self-creating movement worldwide, and that is what's happening. So communities are waking up on their own, and I highly recommend that if that's something you're interested in, and then connecting with other communities, that you go to thrivemovement.com, and you can either rent the movie online, you can create a screening for your friends or community, or you can buy the DVD and then share it with your friends and get involved, because we're not going to be taken out of this mess by the powers that be at the top. It's going to come from each one of us self-creating and organizing a global movement for all of us to thrive, and that's what it's about.
And I love where you're ending on that. It is about thriving, because on the opposite end of that, the other end of the continuum, it is about suppression, but not only is suppressing freedom, it's about suppressing life. And that's what I think resonates largely with people as well. Foster, thank you for joining us again. I'd love to continue the conversation. I know that I'm involved in a number of conversations, as well as others of our listeners are, about actually making shifts and supporting the world.
It's been a pleasure, John. Thanks for having me on. It's a great conversation.
Good deal. Thank you so much. And folks, the conversation will continue as Foster is doing in his way. We are continuing with the reality of what is going on in the world. And again, one final piece as we end here. It is about the I, the we, and the all of us. And as Foster is describing, it is about all of us coming together to shift the world. But it is not about the all. It is not about the collective consuming the individual. It is about freedom being sustained and maintained, that individual illumination that can be the lived essence of our possibility, and that in concert collectively is what brings the real leadership, the real juice to bear. Have a great week, folks. Foster again, thank you. Delight, and my best to Kimberly. Have a great week, folks. Talk to you again next Monday. Thanks.
Bye-bye, John. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.